Hello, friend. Glad you could join us for another Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. The Lord told us in His Word what the world will be like before He returns. And today we'll discuss the erosion of freedoms worldwide and how that relates to what we know will happen during the tribulation. It's an exciting episode that will prove to be informative and motivating at the same time.
Well, hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of Countdown to Eternity. And I can't, listen, we are in the you can't make this stuff up category, and I am so blessed and honored to have the great Don Stewart with me. Don, let's just jump right into these stories because they are truly unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, James, we're looking for things like this to happen. And right now there are things happening that are setting the stage for what the Bible says the world will be like at the time of the end. And we have a number of examples of that, so we understand. It's basically, as we've talked about this before, one step at a time. It doesn't happen overnight, does it? It's incrementally, but before you know it, the stage is set. Isn't that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because we continue to witness our freedoms being robbed from us. And in light of all of that, I did want to give a great congratulations, a big fat congratulations to two states in the union, of course, to Texas. And I don't know if we're going to have any time to talk about that, but I will say this is more relevant towards the stories that we're covering today. I want to congratulate the state of Montana, because Montana is the very first state in the union to make it illegal to discriminate against somebody who chooses not to take the vaccine. Pretty amazing law that they passed there. And I think that that's a great kudos to them for doing that. I think it's pretty wonderful. And I think that this is sort of a great segue into the movement for people to take away our freedoms in the midst of a crisis, right? Find the perfect crisis, and now let's take away our freedoms. And all of this has a lot to do with what we know is going to happen in the last days.
Yeah, and the reason we say that is because Revelation 13 has a world where basically everybody's under control of this final antichrist. We'll develop that later also. You can't buy or sell without it. And like we've said, this cannot happen, will not happen overnight. The system has to be in place where this person basically co-opts it and takes over. So that's why when we share these stories, all it is telling us is one step at a time, supposedly for our own good, all of this is happening. And we have story after story today. We'll get to as many as possible. But the bottom line is, gang, the stage is being set over and over again. All right. Shall I do the beach one first, the one in Italy? Is that all right?
Yeah, let's talk all about right. that.
Yeah, because I want you to talk about that. Okay, there's a story here. And basically, here's what it says. Medical drones are deployed over Italian beaches to search for feverish people. In the early days, this is from Zero Hedge. In the early days of the virus pandemic, we covered multiple stories involving drones equipped with thermal optic sensors and artificial intelligence to detect if a person was feverish. More than a year later, this dystopic technology has deployed over Italian beaches. This is from the RT News, citing local Italian media that so-called medical drones will hover over the beaches of Ostia, a neighborhood of Rome, on Saturday and Sunday, using thermal optic sensors to measure beachgoers' temperature to identify those who may be infected with COVID-19. James, you can't make this stuff up. So now Italy, if you go to the beach near Rome, it seems, they're going to have these drones flying over. You think, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what they're doing, taking pictures. No, they're looking for feverish people. What are they going to do? They're going to separate them from the other people on the beach. Now, explain to the people, because you're an expert in drone technology, how this can happen, what else we should expect in the not-so-distant future.
So this is pretty easy stuff for them to do. This kind of technology, believe it or not, is actually older technology, as crazy as this might sound. But the way it works is they are going to take these multirotors. And when we talk about multirotors, we're talking about, you know, these little devices that have four different sets of blades on them. And what they're going to end up doing is they attach to them some kind of a, very likely it's probably going to be a FLIR unit, right? Mm-hmm. Because those are the ones that are probably the best at what they do. And what they're going to end up doing is they end up detecting heat signatures. So they can tell based on what they see, what temperature the person is at. Of course, they have control surfaces and so on and so forth. For example, they will measure somebody who is 98 degrees on the beach and what that actually looks like. And of course, they'll match that heat signature and a series of other samples that they take. And then they fly these drones or these multi-rotors right over the beach. And as they fly them over the beach, they'll be able to see people walking around that might be in the open, that might have their temperatures slightly different. And then what they'll do is they will notify the people on the ground, probably in hazmat suits and so on and so forth, to go get these folks to keep them from just being able to walk freely. And I think that this is very dangerous because, yet once again, what this is this is a ploy and a move to sort of, they say, make people safer. And the, you know, the bummer is a good majority of the people that are out there are so paranoid about death and so scared that something is going to happen that they will actually capitulate to what this is. They'll allow it to happen. And then what, before you know it, then these things will start getting used for other purposes. And this is part of the problem, right? This is the issue that we are, that we continue to grow concerned with, right? This is the same thing that Apple Computer is beginning to do right now, which we've talked about, where they are scanning everybody's personal photos. And they're doing that now. Of course, it has to be on the, using their cloud service that they'll scan your photos. But what they're looking for is they're looking for things that are already known to be in child pornography databases. And I think that's wonderful. Listen, I think that's very admirable. I think it's good that they're doing that kind of a thing, except for the fact that eventually it won't be used to search for that. Eventually it'll be used to search for pictures of Bibles, pictures of anything that might be indicative of freedom, our religious freedom, right? Worshiping the Lord. And so that's kind of how it always starts. It starts with the intention of saying, oh, we're going to protect you, oftentimes under a false premise. But in this case, they don't want people to get the virus. So they're standing up there and they're saying, oh, well, we're going to help you and this is going to be great. But when it becomes convenient, they will use the tool available to them to gain political power, to continue on with whatever narrative they're seeking to continue. It's just going to go on. And that's just the way that this thing goes.
Yeah, this is the proverbial slippery slope here. Because can you imagine you're sitting there on the Italian beach, you don't know anything about it, you're laying down and some guy comes out in a hazmat suit and grabs somebody and pulls them off the beach? I mean, this is going to be reality. Yeah.
It's completely insane. It's completely insane. And that drives us to, I think, what may be one of the most significant developments that we've read about so far, and that's what's going on in Australia. This one, I think, is very close to your heart, considering the fact that you lived there for a while, and this is very close to where you actually lived.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about this story? This story is, in my opinion, completely reprehensible.
Okay. If you're not familiar, Australia has six states, and they've been in a lockdown probably like no other country in the world. One of the states is Queensland. That's where the city of Brisbane is, the city of Toowoomba, which we'll mention, where I used to live, not that far from Toowoomba. It was yesterday, I believe, the day before, where the premier of Queensland, she got up and said, well, what we're going to do, there's an airport there in Toowoomba. We're going to build a facility, a 1,000-bed facility, that's basically going to take any person that comes from overseas to Queensland or from even interstate from a hotspot area, and we're going to send them there for quarantine. So they're going to build a 1,000-bed facility there. Now, what's interesting, James, as I'm reading the stories, the city council, they didn't know anything about this. The premier just announces that, and some businessman gets this bright idea, well, we can do that. But the thing that to me is interesting, number one, this, they already have facilities. Well, they put people in hotels, and up in Darwin, up in the Northern Territory, another state, they have a facility that's already built. And they've been putting people in hotels. They have barracks there outside of the Brisbane airport to put people in. But this is a specific facility that will be built to house passengers that fly in to the state of Queensland in Australia to be quarantined. And they'll be put there and they'll be checked out. And the interesting thing about it, you don't build something like this because a businessman came up with this idea, if you think this is going away soon. And to me, this is just the beginning, because now you have a facility there. And again, they just bypass the city council or the federal government in Australia. They're a sovereign state. You'll have this facility where people will have to go there and be quarantined once they enter the state and then allowed to go. Now, once you have facilities start being built, because other people are going to get the same idea, it's not a big step to think about, well, we can build another facility, because this was talked about earlier in the state of California in early in 2020, maybe a facility to house people separately who have tested positive for this. So, you know, it's basically, it's a huge step to me taking away our freedoms. Plus, again, this is very much near and dear to my heart because I didn't live far from Toowoomba. It's a great area, a beautiful area in Australia, but this is what's happened to it. And James, it's a very scary story because what it is, it's one step, but it's again, one step at a time, supposedly for our own good, but we know where all this is going to end.
Yeah, so Don, why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about to where this ends up, right? Because we know that this is driving us directly into Revelation chapter 13. I do want to make this comment. I want to say how absolutely reprehensible this is, okay? Because we've gone down this road before, right? Even the United States of America has gone down this road before. And I wouldn't be surprised if the United States of America goes down this road again. We're already building centers. That's what they're calling them, centers. For the sake of the what we call the refugees coming from the southern border, right, which is absolutely insane, and we know where that's going to end up going, right, because the government has no interest in holding people in any facility. They want to release them out into the wild. That's the reality of it, right? I think that's kind of the way it works, because I think that's indicative of more control. And it's just an absolutely crazy thing. So I don't know. You tell me, where does this end up leading? Explain that to everybody. Let's talk about, because we talk about, me and you talk about this all the time, how this, where this will end up going.
Okay. Right now, it's, again, it's supposedly for our own good, for people that are coming into this country, that is Australia and that state, Queensland, to make sure, they have to already have the jab before they even get into the country, but make sure they don't infect the people. Yeah, okay, you can understand something like that. Don't want to spread this. But what we know from Revelation 13, eventually no one will be able to buy or sell without a particular mark on their right hand or forehead, meaning there'll be a system in place that's not in place now, but that will be in place where the government, and this is the global government, will be in total control of people's lives. And so it's one incremental step at a time. And people are getting used to the fact, James, that right now that there are, you know, for our own good, there's these facilities supposedly out there, and they're there, and they're to look out for us and to help us out. But we know eventually where it's going to end up. So it's not a huge step of saying, well, these barracks need to be used for something. Well, how about using it for this type of person or this person or that person? And so the fact that they're there, it's number one to gain control, but also to make money too. Let's face it, they got to get money for having these people in. The local businesses are, you know, looking at that, the guy that built this. And so what it does, it sets the stage for eventually a worldwide governmental control of everybody's lives. In other words, you know, I used to live in Australia. I live in the state of Queensland. So that's where I lived. And you could go and easily, you know, travel where you will, have no problem whatsoever. Now there's at each border of these states, you get stopped and, you know, you have to, and people are getting fined and pulled over if they go out of the range where they're even allowed to drive. There's stories there in South Australia. We can get in that sometime too, where they're actually going to have people, you know, have some type of registration there, some type of app where they can be monitored at all times where they're at. Again, for their own good. So again, James, this is supposedly for their own good, and they're using that, but the people are getting used to something like this, and this is our big worry. This is not the mark of the beast. This is not the end, but it's setting the stage for the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you that don't know, the footage that you're actually watching right next to me is the news story that just got released that's actually showing these facilities and showing what they're going to. And the story is so long that we don't have the time to actually play it for you. But for those of you that are watching on video, that's exactly what you're looking at right now. And for those of you listening to us on the radio, you can go and watch us online and you can actually see exactly the footage that we've been playing. And I got to tell you, it is absolutely unbelievable. It truly is like nothing we've ever seen. And we are watching the world change pretty rapidly. And all of this in the name of safety, right? Watch, we watched this happen with the Patriot Act.
Exactly.
And with the Patriot Act, we actually watched this happen. We watched this take place where it began to be used. Hey, we're protecting you from these people. We're protecting you from these killers. And we have to do what's necessary. When in reality, what they were doing was they were basically eroding the rights and the privacies that existed for Americans. And thus, we lost a lot of that. And so, again, I really believe all of this is kind of like, sort of, for lack of a better term, it's the Overton window being pushed so that when the time that the Antichrist comes on the scene, which will be after we're raptured, right? We know that he can't even be revealed to us until after we're raptured. This is going to be very acceptable to everybody.
Yeah, let me read you now. I've got the South Australian story. Here it is. Interstate travel within Australia is also severely restricted, and the government of South Australia, one of the country's six states, developed and is now testing an app as Orwellian as any in the free world to enforce its quarantine rules. People in South Australia will be forced to download an app that combines facial recognition, and get this, James, and geolocation. The state will text them at random times, and thereafter they will have 15 minutes to take a picture of their face and the location where they're supposed to be. Should they fail, the local police department will be sent to follow up in person. We don't tell them how often or when, on a random basis, they have to reply within 15 minutes, Premier Stephen Marshall explained. So I think every South Australian should feel pretty proud that we are the national pilot for this home-based quarantine app. Close quote. You can't make this stuff up.
No. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. And I'm mind blown. I mean, I don't know. I kind of don't even know what to say about it. Right. And we're not talking about some, communist country where you're going to do this and we're going to develop our social credit system and you're going to listen to me. We're not talking about, you know, the Chinese Communist Party here. What we're actually talking about is we're talking about Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's a country I lived in for 5 years, and the people there, if you don't know the history, they start out as a place to put convicts there. And what's happened there, the mindset always has been, they're really people who generally not really big on authority. They don't like authority telling them what to do. So this is totally different from what, you know, I experienced there. What they would do, they would cheer for someone going up the ladder. But once the person's got some type of, you know, a high profileness, they would try and knock them down. That's what they did, because they didn't like they've got this mindset against the government. Now, but here, James, they are so afraid this is something going to kill all of them. That's why the people are allowing something like this. The premiers in all six states are a bunch of lefties anyway, very much lefties. The one who is, you know, Scott Morrison, he's good. He's a Christian, actually, that is the prime minister of Australia. But you've got these six states, and you got very much lefties, the one in Victoria, the lockdowns there, the one in New South Wales, and this one in Queensland, that they're very, very leftist here. And so the people, again, for their own good, they have to follow this. And unfortunately, they're going to be forced to download an app that combines facial recognition and geolocation. This is in the Western world, in a very free country. It's not so free anymore.
And it's scary because, you know, what we're talking about here is we're talking about this sort of total domination kind of a thing going on, right?
Yeah.
And it's dark and it's ugly. And it's just one of those things where you just look at and you say, oh my goodness, can it get any worse? Can it be any crazier than what we're actually looking at? It's just insane. It's completely insane. I've never seen anything like it.
No, there's never been anything like it. And this is just the beginning. That's kind of our message. This is going to continue because the Bible talks about a world where this is the norm. But it doesn't become the norm overnight. It takes a while for all these things to take place, one step at a time. And because we have this worldwide pandemic of the Chinese Communist Party coronavirus, here we have steps being taken. And like I said, the last line from the Premier of South Australia, I think every South Australian should feel pretty proud that we're the national pilot for this home-based quarantine app. Well, I've got an article I sent to you about someone saying, you've got to be kidding, Premier, from South Australia. What are you talking about? This is something out of 1984, George Orwell here. And what about our freedoms? But again, they go down the drain, don't they, James, when supposedly the health of the people is the main concern. And they're using this basically to control the world. And again, what's so frightening about this is the Western world. This isn't China. This isn't North Korea. This is Australia.
Yeah. And as I said before, get ready, folks, because I don't know what anybody thinks, but you're crazy if you think we're not near the end, that we're not approaching that time where we see what the Bible says is the last days. We are here. I mean, it's not like this is not like some sort of a abstract idea or weird thought amongst radicals. This is mainstream.
Yep.
This is something that is literally happening right now. And we should be opening our eyes to recognize that we're near the end. I mean, literally, we are living in these last days, and it would be crazy to not come to that conclusion.
Yeah. And then to change the subject just for a minute or two, We have the UK says it won't recognize the Taliban, but sees scope for dialogue between us, the Western world, and the Taliban. Goodness, we've had gracious. Stories this week, James. Taliban executes pregnant police officer in front of her children. We have the stories of, in Kandahar, 12 Christians who were caught by the Taliban and beheaded for being Bible-believing Christians. And over and over again, there are many of these stories. Right now, there's a story that there's 6 planes sitting on an airport there, an airport in Afghanistan, that are not allowed to be able to fly with the, you know, the Christians and the people who have a right to fly out, because our government is not giving them the okay. It's not the Taliban. It's our government, the State Department, who is stopping something like this because they don't want to look bad, because we've got private people flying people out. And so this is so wacky. You really can't make this stuff up, but it's almost like we're living in a surreal world.
I'm just mind blown. The State Department one just makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, let me get this straight. You turn your back on United States citizens, right? You literally give the place over to the devil. You allow them to do all the evil that they want to do. You literally give them $85 billion worth of equipment to be able to do it. You even give them a list telling people, telling the Taliban where we are, you know, all of that stuff. Any American that's in that area, they're out. Literally, they're just out there, open game. I mean, literally. And now they're safe and they're on a couple of airplanes, 6 airplanes or whatever, and they can't leave the country because the State Department won't let them?
Yeah.
What a disgrace.
Yeah,
what a complete disgrace.
Yeah. It's you know, we warned about this ahead of time, what this administration would do given the chance, because they've been you know, claiming the last 4 years has not been good for the country, and so we're going to undo everything that was done. But this one here, these are human lives. These are people that work in Afghanistan, that work for the government, that were helping people, that were bringing freedoms there. There were teachers, people building roads and the such like. And now look what's happened. I don't know if you saw this story. There's a story about maybe a week or 10 days ago in the UK Daily Mail of he had a dual citizenship. He was an Afghani who had an Australian passport. He held it up. He was trying to get, you know, a flight out. He says, here's my Australian passport. He got beaten up. His face was bloody because they wouldn't let him, you know, get on the flight. Well, I got sent a video of him just about 2 days ago. And basically, he was executed. He was murdered by the Taliban once he was away from the cameras, away from trying to get on the flight. He was an Australian citizen. He's an Afghan, you know, person, but he was an Aussie citizen. He had an Australian passport. They wouldn't let him in. And, you know, off camera, there was a video taken, and the person said, well, something about it. Well, here's for your Jesus or something like that, and murdered the guy. Yeah. And so this is what our country has, you know, has left there. It is disgraceful. It is despicable. And, I run out of adjectives, James, of what to say. It's just something that you can't make up.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Don, on that very negative note, how about we give somebody out there a word of encouragement? We have literally less than a minute. Why don't we give them a word of encouragement and tell them why we do this?
Yeah, we do this because we're going to tell you, like Jesus said, I've tell you these things ahead of time, so when they take place, you know that you can believe. We don't like sharing this news. This is the truth. But the good news is there's a new world coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's told us what the world's going to be like before he returns. And we see it happening right now in front of our eyes. As terrible as it is, it says perilous times, terrible times will come at the time of the end. We know it's coming. But the sun, the blue skies are out there, James, because it's all going to end with the second coming of Christ, setting up his kingdom, bringing it to the world. So that's why we have hope. Eventually we smile because we know how it's going to end. But in the meantime, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. So we're here to tell you what reality is all about.
Yeah, and it's an important one, right? It is very, very important. And so, guys, look up. That's the bottom line. Jesus is coming soon. Listen, we want to give you, at the time of this recording, it is Labor Day, so we'll give you a late belated Labor Day. And, of course, a very happy new year for all of our Jewish friends. We know we're celebrating Rosh Hashanah. What a beautiful time. We love you guys. Listen, we hope you have enjoyed listening or watching this as much as we've enjoyed making it. We are so honored to be able to bless you this way. On behalf of the great Don Stewart, this is James Cadiz. We want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. May God richly bless you.
You're listening to Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Hear this program again at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown the number 2, eternity.com. It's also available wherever you get your podcasts. And we have a video version of Countdown to Eternity on YouTube and Rumble. Subscribe to the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill channel on YouTube to watch us today. And on Rumble under James Cadiz. Hey, there's so much going on right now that we couldn't possibly cover it all in a half-hour weekly show. So we'd like to recommend that you follow James Cadiz, Educating Our World, and Countdown to Eternity on Instagram and Facebook, as well as YouTube. Access many helpful resources for free at educatingourworld.com, including Don Stewart's books. Some are now available as audiobooks, again at educatingourworld.com. Have a question for Don and James? Oh, they'd love to hear from you. Email us through the website at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown the number 2, eternity.com. And we are listener supported. Simply put, that means your gifts help us do what we do, and we're so grateful for it. To make a donation, visit countdowntoeternity.com. That'll do it for this edition of Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Thanks again for listening, and keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill.